The scripture real quick, and then we will let you be seated. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. We're going to read two passages. We'll read the first one. We'll pray. We'll let you be seated, and I will read the second one. They're both in 2 Corinthians there. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And as we've been doing, we're going to read it together. We'll read the odd verses, and then you can read with me on the even verses, and we will, again, brief pause at the any of the punctuation marks. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1. I'll start, and then you'll join me at verse 2, 4, 6, and 8. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How then a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you this same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Bless us this evening as we just look at some principles from these passages about this area of giving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, and then as you're there, flip over to 2 Corinthians 9, one chapter over, and then I would suggest leave your finger there. We're going to look at these verses back and forth for a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm going to read. You can listen this time, starting in verse number 5. It says, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren, that they would go before unto you to make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready, as a matter of bounty and not of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whiles by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them, unto all men. As we are getting down to the nitty-gritty of our building, we'll talk about giving all the time, but we're in a building campaign, and that's very important. It's our building, and it's our responsibility to take ownership of that and get it done. Our offering Sunday will be on June 11th. That's coming upon us quickly. As we have done in years past, we're not doing this year. We've always encouraged everybody to strive for a certain goal, a certain amount. The adults was that $1,000 amount, but we're not doing that this year. We don't want us to just strive for an arbitrary goal. We want God to work in us. We want God to work through us. And we want God to show us our level of involvement. And so that's very important. I felt led to do that for a couple reasons. We're calling it levels of giving. First, it makes it easier. I think it makes it easier to just settle in on that amount when we had 1,000. When God may be able to allow you to give more if you're open up, if you're open about it and you pray about it. The fact of the matter is, if we have $1,000, some people can't give $1,000. Some people, you can give more. We can give more. And so we don't want to just have an amount we just settle in on. We want God, what do you want me to be? How do you want me to be a part of this? Secondly, when you set an arbitrary amount, it may discourage those who don't have the resources. Fact of the matter is, it could be somebody on Offering Sunday that gives $500. That's a bigger sacrifice than somebody that give $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, because for them that was a bigger percentage. It was proportionate. We don't want to discourage all of us being involved, by the way. Lastly, I believe that if we all just look to God for what He would want us to give, we would be able to give that and maybe more if we just looked at it from our own perspective. We don't want to look at it from our own perspective. We want to see what God, because if God's involved, God's going to provide, and God's going to help us get what He wants us to give. Ephesians chapter 3:20 says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." And really, you know, God is real. I hope you know that by now, okay? And sometimes if we allow God to stretch us and do things that we didn't know He would do, and that we're just like, wow, that's amazing. It's almost like God's way of saying, I got things under control, and I can do it, and He's real in our life. And so that's what I want to get at. So tonight, we're going to look at giving specifically. One of the major things that Paul did in his third missionary journey, looking at the scripture now, was the taking up of a special relief offering for some of the Jews that were having a hard time in Judea. He wanted the offering to strengthen, of course, to be helpful, but more than that, he wanted to help strengthen the church. It would strengthen the church by the Gentile believers getting involved with being a blessing and helping the Jewish believers. And so that was part of it, but God wanted to use them. Unfortunately, the Corinthian church, who, if you read 1 Corinthians, had many issues going on in their life, they were not really doing their part. And so Paul here is going to talk to them a little bit. Like many people, they'd made some promises, but maybe they had failed to keep them. What was the cause of them really not getting involved in the way that they said they would or wanted to? Their spiritual level. Giving in anything in a church always is at the level of our spirituality. Where are we at spiritually? If our spiritual level isn't where it's supposed to be, everything else we do is not going to be where it is supposed to be. And that was part of their problem here. Paul knew it'd be difficult to get the Corinthians to participate. So he lifted his appeal to the highest spiritual level possible. He taught them that giving was an act of God's grace in their life. And so I want to look today in these two chapters, give you some principles. There's many of them. We'll go quickly because I know it's a little bit later. About giving. Paul encourages them in their giving in these chapters, and he sees, and we're going to see it from three key aspects. First, we're going to look at the what of giving. In other words, he's going to explain what giving is. Then we're going to look at the why of giving, the motivation that should be behind our giving. Now, primarily, we're talking about financial with our building offering coming up. But fact of the matter is, and by the way, the passage is financial, but you could apply that to any aspect of giving in your life. And then we're going to look at the walls of giving. What would prevent us, the things that are preventing us from being involved like God would want us to be. So first of all, let's look at the what of giving. That's the explanation. We must understand what it really is. You say, well, I understand what it really is. The offering plate comes by and you just throw stuff in. That's the end of it, okay? That's not the concept of the whole thing. And by the way, I hardly ever give in the offering plate anymore now that we have Simple Give. It's so simple to give. I use that all of the time. But like God himself, the type of giving that is reflective of God, in certain attributes God has. In other words, like when God gives to us, he gives to us because of who he is, some of the attributes in his life. Our giving ought to reflect the grace of God that he shows to us. So as we look at these chapters, let me give you some explanation about giving. First of all, giving is sacrificial. If you look in your Bible, keep it open to 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. In verse 3, it says, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." He said when these people that he's using it as an example to the Corinthian church to get them on board, he said they gave, and they gave over really the power that they had to give. What is he saying? He's saying they not only just gave, they gave sacrificially. The believers gave not according to their ability even. They were giving over their ability. That's sacrificial. By the way, giving that doesn't hurt us a little bit is not true sacrificial giving. When you look at the Lord and what he's given us in our life, you see the concept of sacrifice. When Christ died on the cross, what was he doing? He was sacrificially giving of himself for our sins. But God commendeth. The word commendeth means proved. God commendeth or proved his love toward us. How? In that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Sometimes to get something done, it takes more than just tipping. It takes a little bit of sacrifice. And we must be willing to do that. So giving is sacrificial. Also, giving is spontaneous. Look at verse 3 again. "For to their power I bear record, yea, and behind their power, they were willing of themselves." I mean, they were ready to go. They were willing to give. They were looking and wanting to take advantage of that opportunity that comes to them. Our human nature causes on occasion to give out of a spirit of obligation, does it not? But grace giving, or giving because of God's grace working in our life, is done with a desire in one's heart to be involved. It's more, look, when we give, it's not a bill. You know, we look at our, and I have a budget, and that's not a cuss word, by the way. Okay, that's good financial common sense. I have a budget that we follow. And I don't, and I have everything laid out, all of our bills. But at the top, when I give, I always put away our giving money first. That's not a bill. Now, in essence, it is a bit of an obligation that we do have. But we can't see it as a bill. Although God tells us an amount to start off with, the tithe, yes, we're supposed to give that, but it's still an opportunity. In other words, God tells us to give, but that giving we give is still an opportunity to invest in things that are eternal. And those that have a spiritual mindset will look to see, how can I get involved in something when it comes my way? I think last Sunday, and I was very, very pleased when we took, after we read the prayer letter on Thursday night, I just felt we should take an offering for Brother Booth in Honduras. And that was just spontaneous. Let's just do that. By the way, I'll be honest with you. Practically speaking, that doesn't make a lot of sense when we're asking the church to, like, hey, get ready. I know you already give, and you got bills, and you got your school bill, all this stuff, and we're getting ready to give for the building, and we're trying to pinch our pennies, and then to come up and say we're going to take a special missionary offering for Brother Booth. But you know what? That was spontaneous. But I like the fact our church got involved. I was hoping we could get $900 and spur of the moment and pay for the rest of the year for those children, for the children's food. And we're paying for 18 months in Spanish service I think they're taking offering today. It'll probably end up being more. That's spontaneous giving. And by the way, in essence, one reason I did that too, it's like even though we're doing everything we can with our money here to get the building done, I want God to know that it's not just about us. We're still looking outside of ourselves because we need God's help, and I just want to be a blessing to other people. So it's spontaneous. We have an opportunity. We see the opportunity, and we seize the opportunity. And we did that last week, and we have another opportunity on June 11th. Next, giving is also selfless. Verse 4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. As these offerings were taken, the Macedonians came and said, we want you to take the gift. They're like, because they were poor, it'd be, in one sense, they would be tempted to say, we don't want to take your money. You folks need it. And they're coming and saying, no, you're going to take this money. This was a gift for God, and I don't want to lose that blessing. You know, I heard a tremendous story. David Gibbs, you ever hear David Gibbs preach? He tells a lot of really fascinating stories. He said he was at a church one time. He was preaching. Afterwards, a widow came up to him. And the widow, her husband had died recently, and she got some type of settlement. And the church was in, I don't know if they were in a building campaign or something. And she came up to Brother Gibbs afterwards. She goes, my pastor wanted me to talk to you and ask you about this. She says, I just received the settlement. My husband died. I'm a widow now. And I want to give the whole thing to the church. It was like $35,000. Now, he, as I would be, he felt uncomfortable about that. And he tried to talk her out of it. It's like, you know what? Are you sure about that? I mean, this is money. You need this money. And you know, you just lost your husband. You may not want to give all. Maybe you want to give some of it. Don't give the. And she's like, she kind of rebuked him and said, no, God told me to give that money. And he's like, oh, okay. Well, if God told you to give it, I guess you got to give it. Now, he got her phone number. He's like, I'm going to check up and make sure she's okay. And he felt kind of bad. A couple weeks later, I don't know if it was maybe a month or two later, he had his secretary call, and he got a hold of the lady. And I don't know if she may have left a message for him to call her back or something. But anyway, he got a hold of her, and she goes, let me tell you what happened. She said, I gave the $35,000 because I felt God wanted me to give all of it. And by the way, God very rarely does that, to be honest with you. Okay? She said, a little while later, I got a call from an attorney and said, do you have an Uncle Harry something or other? And she's like, no, I don't have an Uncle Harry. She said, well, he just died, and you were his last relative, and he left his estate to you. It's like $600,000. And she said, that Uncle Harry. Now, look, don't walk away from here saying that I told you if you give all your money, Uncle Harry's going to leave you money, because that doesn't happen all the time. The point is, sometimes our giving is selfless. Now, I don't think God is going to call us any of us to give away all of our money, but God may call us to be a little bit selfless in what we're doing so we can be involved. And God always blesses when we're selfless. But when we're selfish, our hand is closed. When your hand is closed, two things happen. Number one, you don't give anything. And number two, you can't receive anything. But when you open your hands to give, how often does God give back to us in measure? Next, I want you to see that giving is systematic. Verse 6, in so much of chapter 8 still we're in, in so much that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, that he would finish in you the same grace also. What he is saying is, this is not something that's a one-time thing. He's going to finish it in you. You're going to keep going. This is something you should be involved in regularly. Keep going forward with it. Giving is not a one-time thing. Really, we ought to all be involved in a lifestyle of giving. And again, we're talking about money, but I'm talking about just in our life. So often in our life, all we think about is ourselves. And our whole life is just wrapped on in me and my time, my this, my that, without ever a thought of being helpful to somebody else or investing in something outside of ourselves. And by the way, that is a little life. When everything is wrapped up around you, it is very, very little and there's not much in it. But we should be systematic. Okay? God tells us. The baseline of our giving is tithing, and that starts, and that's every time we get paid, our regular giving, systematic. God wants us in the habit of regularly giving. Systematic. Also, look at verse 7. Giving is spiritual. Giving is spiritual. Look at verse 7 of chapter 8. He says, therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligent and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. Now look at the company that giving is keeping. You know, these are all spiritual: faith, utterance, knowledge, diligent, love for others. He says, abound in this grace also, which is giving. See, sometimes we compartmentalize things. Spiritual things are like reading your Bible. By the way, that's spiritual. Spiritual things are like praying. That's spiritual. Spiritual things are like coming to church. That's spiritual. Sharing your faith, that's spiritual. Trusting in the Lord, that's spiritual. The fruit of the Spirit, that's spiritual. Giving, that is spiritual. Everything we do in this service should be spiritual. When we come and we sing the songs, what are we doing? We're singing hymns, spiritual songs. When we hear those sing, we're being encouraged through song. That's spiritual. We read the scripture, that's spiritual. Listening to the message, that's spiritual. And then we have that one thing in the middle of the service that's not spiritual: the offering. No. That's spiritual too. Every Saturday when I give, I used to write a check, but now I give on Simple Give. Every Saturday, I open it up and I know how much I'm giving, and I have my little thumbprint on my iPad. I got to do that. Thumbprint pops up. Hey, I give. Do you know that's spiritual? That's spiritual, like cracking my Bible open. See, when it becomes spiritual, it's no longer an obligation or a bill. Now, this Jeremy's testimony was good. I had to pay the IRS this year too. That was a blessing. That wasn't spiritual. Now, everything I know as a Christian we do is paying your bills is kind of spiritual, but I didn't feel that way. You know, I used to write a check. There was just something about Pacific Baptist Church. This check, IRS. I didn't feel good about that. I didn't feel good about it. But I had to do it. But when I give, you know what I realize I'm doing? I'm just being obedient to God. I'm trying to get in on what God's doing. I'm trying to invest in the things of God, and I can be excited about it. I can say, man, I get to be involved. This is just one other way I can be involved in helping others. I can be involved in getting God's will done on this earth. It's a spiritual thing. It's also sincere. In verse 8, he says, to prove the sincerity of your love. Very sincere. If we love God, we will do what he tells us to do. And one of the things he tells us to do, which is very hard for us sometimes, is to part with our resources. So that's the what of giving. I want us to notice, too, number two, the why of giving. This is the motive. This is the motive. You know, the Word of God gives us so many amazing reasons for giving to God that we don't need any tricks, gimmicks, or weepy stories to motivate people to live. And we could do that, and I'm not against it, you know. The missionaries try to help us out to see the need, and I'm not against it. You know, they play a song, and they show us the pictures of the people in the country they're going, and there's nothing wrong with that. We need to see that there's a spiritual need there. But I'm not going to give you some weepy story and all that to try to talk you into giving. Let's give because God tells us to. Let's give because it's the right thing to do, and let's give because there are people out there that need to be reached. We have to have the right motivation. What are some of the motivations? We are motivated by grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1, verse 6, 7, and 9, the grace of God, or the word grace, is mentioned in relation to giving 4 different times. This is a grace we're to be involved in. It's amazing that the central passage on giving in the New Testament, grace is the theme. I think the word grace, it may have been maybe mentioned 6 times. It seems like in the Old Testament, God said, do this and I will bless you. But if you look, kind of look at it from the concept of the New Testament, God's like, I've already blessed you, so why don't you do this? It's a different motivation. We're motivated because everything that God has done for us, why can't we step up and do something for him? Grace. We should be motivated by gratitude. 2 Corinthians 9, 11 and 12, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. In verse 15 of chapter 2 and verse 9, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Giving is out of a heart of thanksgiving. How can we not give back to God when he has been so good to us? It's one way we could say, Lord, I'm thankful for everything you've done for me. I want you to do it for others, and I want to be involved, and I want to be obedient. It's a way I'm saying, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. We know that giving brings blessing. It blesses those who receive the gift. Go back to the gift to the Brother Booth. That's going to bless many people for a long time to come. It's just a blessing to them. And giving can do that. But giving also gives blessing to God. Everything that's used and everything that's done brings honor and glory and blessing to his name. But you know another thing? It also brings blessing to the giver. We know that. Okay? It's more blessed to give than to receive. Does that mean it's not blessing or good thing to receive? No, we all like gifts. Someone comes by and gives you a gift. Hey, I wanted to let you know I was thinking about you, or thank you for this, or your birthday, or whatever it is. And they give you something. It's like, wow, they thought about me. That's a blessing. But you know where the bigger blessing comes? From the person that gave them the gift. Okay? I read a book one time, like, and it was about giving. It was the donut principle. I'm like, how in the world, what does a donut have to do with giving? And the guy gave the story of, he's sitting in the chair, and his little 3 or 4 year old daughter came and brought him a plastic toy donut. You know how kids are. Great, you take it. The thing that he noticed is when he walked away, he saw the joy in the little child's face because they gave something to their dad. And that was the whole principle. That child was happier because she was able to give something. Now, children don't typically do that, but because they gave something than even receiving something. And there's blessing in that. We ought to be motivated in the blessings of giving. We ought to be motivated by gladness. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. How can giving be cheerful? You know, as I look, and I go over our budget, you know, our the church budget, I go over with a fine-tooth comb, but my home budget too. And I don't mind that certain things we have to do. There's just certain things you have to do. I think I mentioned this in Sunday school class, but they're not joyful, you know, and it's like, let's just do the best we can. And sometimes I'm going through the things on Saturday when I look at what's been spent through the week, and I might call somebody and say, did we really need that? That's kind of expensive. Did we have to buy that, or could we have got a better deal? It's like, really? And then now there's other times when my wife comes and like, hey, I need something. She wanted something for this, and it's like, go get it. And it may cost a little bit. I don't care as much because it's for her. She needs it, and we have it. Go get it. Have a good time. Well, what's the difference between that and something else? It's for who it's for. If it's for my wife and she needs it, or something she wants and I can get it for her, I'm all for it if it makes sense. It's like, go get it. But, you know, when I'm writing a check to Southern California Edison, I have a different attitude. I don't like Southern California Edison. Their rates are ridiculous, especially if you have like air conditioning in the summer. It's horrific. It's like these people are gouging. They should go to jail. I mean, come on. What's the difference? The difference is who is it for? What is it for? When it's for somebody we care about, for somebody we love, for something we're invested in, it's so much easier for it to be joyous. If we struggle with being joyous in our giving, that's just a sign that maybe it's not that important to us. Maybe it's not in our heart. And I'm glad that as a new Christian, I don't know how, I I just got into this thing that, you know what? We're supposed to give, and I'm in on it. And I've not regretted one thing. Gladness, cheerful. We're next. We're motivated by gain. Many people's first question to themselves, if not out loud, is, what am I going to get out of this giving for God, to God, right? And they might tell you that, but it's like, wait a minute, I'm giving something. What do you get? Congratulations. Actually, there's more to it than that. Do you know, even though we don't give to get, isn't it amazing when we give, God takes care of us. God meets our needs. God lets us see the fruit of what we're doing. We don't give for gain, but it's nice that God gives to us. Fact of the matter is, he gives to us so we can give in the first place. And we're motivated by God's gift. That's the biggest thing. 2 Corinthians 8:9 is such a tremendous verse. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. That's the whole thing right there. We give because God gave to us. You know, if you've been blessed, if someone blesses you with something and you cannot return it in kind, that shows a level of selfishness. I think I mentioned in Sunday school, one of our grandkids was at the house. I think it was Charlie. And popcorn, she got popcorn. They like popcorn, so that's easy. You throw it in the microwave, boom, 3 minutes later, have at it. And she was walking by. I'm like, Charlie, you know, we gave her the popcorn. That's my house. Charlie, Grandpa wants some popcorn. She's like, no. I'm like, no. No's not an option. I'm like, get over here now. I took the popcorn from her, said, my popcorn, sit down. And she started crying. I'm eating the popcorn. Oh, this is good. Tears don't work for me. Oh, it's good popcorn. Now, Charlie, I gave you the popcorn. You want? So I gave her, she got right with God, and I gave her popcorn. She took off. Ellie walks by. I thought, I want to see if Ellie really understood what was going on. Ellie, can I have some popcorn? She couldn't get to me fast enough. Okay, she saw what happened. She's not dumb. And then I'm like, Charlie, you want to share with me some more? Yes, I want to share with you some more. You better. I'll take it from you. Okay, but listen, when God gives to us, it's easy for us to give back to him. It ought to be. And then the last thing is this. What are the walls you're giving? What are some things that would prevent us from giving? Well, first of all, we're just not convinced. We're just not convinced. We don't believe that. We really just don't believe what these scriptures tell us about giving. We don't really have faith. By the way, it takes faith. It seems like sometimes the last thing that comes for a Christian that's growing is to get involved with their finances. But if we really knew what God said about the thing. I've been doing this for a long time. I mean, as a Christian, giving since the time I was 18. I can never one time look back and say, I felt like I've been ripped off. I just don't. I felt like I've done without because I've given. I don't think I have. God's always been very, very good to me. You realize of Jesus' 38 parables, 12 dealt exclusively with money. One out of every 6 verses in Matthew, Mark, and Luke touches on the subject of money. What does that mean? It just means it's a big deal. God knows it's a huge thing in our life. That it's not just giving, we just don't even know how to take care of it. We don't even know how to use it. We allow it to become a god in our life. We allow it to be all-consuming. We put trust in money more than we put trust in God. We put our security in money more than we put our security in God. You know, our money says in God we trust, but the fact of the matter is, for most people, that's a lie. They ought to put in George we trust. Well, actually, George Washington's a $1 bill. We'll bump it up. And Abraham Lincoln we trust, or whoever it is. Who's on the 100? I like Ben, okay? I trust in Ben Franklin. I'm not trusting George Washington. But whatever it is, if we're honest, that's what we're trusting in. And God says, no. I want you to trust in me, not in your money. The reason we don't, because we're not convinced. It's like anything in our Christian life. It has to go from convenience to conviction. You know what convenience is? If everything's going well, I'll do it. You know, if I got nothing else going on, I'll come to church. If I feel I can afford it, I'll give some money. If I feel that I'm free on Tuesday night, I might go out and invite some folks to church or do that. That's convenience. Conviction says, this is what God has told me to do, and I'm doing it, period. Period. That's convinced. I come to church because a long, 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 long time ago, I was convinced that's what God wanted me to do, and so I'm like, I'm doing it. And you just name what we do. I'm convinced God wants me to be in His Word, so you know what I'm doing? I'm going to do it. We're not committed. Verse 3 of chapter 8, they were willing. Verse 7 of chapter 9, it says, every man as he purposeth in his heart. That's talking about being committed to something. We had a whole message about that last Sunday morning. You choose, and once you choose, then you commit to your choice. It's commitment. It just takes commitment to say, I'm going to do it no matter how I feel. I'm going to do it no matter what happens, and we need that. And sometimes we're not, and it doesn't go our way. What is the whole point? The point is this. God wants us to be involved outside of ourselves. God wants us to get involved. God could do anything He wants without our involvement. But you know what God does? He wants us to be involved. That's the whole faith life. God wants to work through His people. And God will provide for us if we'll be obedient with what He has already given to us. But we've got to be committed to it. Too many people, we're a little bit too wishy-washy here. We start out and then we get that fear. And fear kills faith and commitment. We have opportunity on June 11th in a big way to give for that building, which is desperately needed. But more than that, we have an opportunity each and every week to just do what God says so we can be involved in what God is doing. Are you involved? Maybe there's some reasons we're not today. Maybe we just don't understand. Let's all stand together this evening.